Harvesting Church multiplying, Harvesting Church multiplying and having many, services all over, branches all over. It's about homes rising up and being lighthouses. And when I pray for the homes, the one thing that goes on in my mind is, it's to be a lighthouse, it's to be a prayer tower. And I know when we say the word prayer tower, we think of Jesus calls. That's by nature, because they brought in the whole concept of prayer tower at the beginning. But God really put it in my heart. He said, actually, my house is a house of prayer. And when we think prayer, we think of this verse, which says house of prayer. Another thing that comes to our mind when we think prayer is closet prayer, you know. Some very specific things. And, you know, it's also to do with the house. It's to do with inside your house. So, this morning, our whole focus is on Harvesting Home, a place of prayer, a house of prayer, you know. And prayer is the backbone of any ministry, of any individual, of even our very practical Christian life, okay. Minus prayer, just think where we would be. We would imagine a thing without a body, without a backbone. It's pathetic, it's blubber, okay. And how many of our bones we have in the rest of the body, we need that spinal cord, we need that backbone. But so often I find that when we don't have that backbone, we lose out on a lot more. We lose out. But we have the frame, we think, oh, we are there, we are fine, you know, the body is there. But we don't realize that we really, really need this prayer part. So today we're just going to focus in on prayer, you know. What does it mean? What does it mean? As a kid, when I was in my moral science class as a child, third standard, fourth standard, we studied in these convents, most of us did, and you had the nun saying, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. And then we hear this bit about when you read the Bible, God talks to us. But over the years of knowing and walking with God, I found prayer is not just me talking to God and rattling off whatever I want to say. Actually, prayer is also Him talking back, you know. I remember some years ago we were planning a skit. That was much before Deepika got married. We were planning a skit and all the children were there at the dining table. And I remember we watched this little clip, Our Father. It's a skit on Our Father. There's this lady who sits with her cup of coffee and her morning magazine. And then she moves the magazine aside and says, okay, my Bible's here. Let me do what I have to do. So she opens her Bible and she says, Our Father who art in heaven. And God says, yes. She says, shh, I'm praying. And so often we do that with our Christian walk. We want to do, and then she keeps on, she says again, Our Father. Again the voice of God says, yes, you call me. There you did it again. So she says, shush, I'm just doing what I have to do, okay, just keep quiet. And she goes on with, you know, what she believes is prayer. And actually I wanted to play that clip here, but then I thought, okay, you can always check it out sometime. And then she says, you know, and then he starts telling her, you know, what Our Father means and so on. And then she says, see, I didn't bargain for this. I'm just doing my morning duty. Sometimes, honestly, my prayer life has become like, if I don't have my quiet time, my day is going to be a mess. And God has been talking to me very specifically on that, saying, it's not about having your quiet time. If not, I'm going to smash up your day. It's not at all about that. It's about, you don't know how much I long for you to come and sit with me in the morning. Do you even think of it? Do you even realize it? And so, this morning, we're just going to go back, okay? We're just going to go back to what the Lord said in terms of the Lord's Prayer. I want to just, that's why I requested Lynn to do that song. Sometimes our prayers, we have different types of prayer. You know, we have the sustenance prayer. It's, Lord, bless my food, make me good, in Jesus' name, amen. Just mere sustenance. I need to just about live, okay? So just take care of my food. I need khana, definitely. Take care of my, you know, my, just be, make me good. That's all, generally. Sometimes we have very selfish prayers. It's like, Lord, bless my father, bless my mother, bless my pencil, bless my rubber. Basically, for a child, it's pencil and rubber. But for us adults, it's the work of my hands, you know. Bless this, that's enough. Then, sometimes some of us have the audacity to do this. You know, the Bible says, you know, you say, Lord, these are my plans for today, tomorrow, and maybe my whole life, maybe my ministry also, Lord, these are my plans. Just endorse it. Just bless it. But God keeps again and again telling me, you know what? I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. It's not about what you plan to do for my kingdom. It's what I want for my kingdom. And more in my Christian walk, I'm discovering it's about aligning to His thoughts. And my time in prayer helps me to align to what He's thinking. As simple as that. So my time in prayer is not about, if I don't do this, my day will get messed. But it's more like, I'm doing this, Lord, because today, for these 24 hours, I want to align to what You want. As simple as that. So if I'm really looking at my quiet time. You know, there were luxurious times, like Radhika was sharing the other day. You know, in the Gulf, it's a very secluded life in that sense, okay? You send your husband off, you send your kids off to school and to, you know, work. After that, the time is yours, your house is yours, you're fully there. And we don't even have servants there. So you plan out, we pace out, you know, what we're going to do the whole day. And I still remember a time when God said, you know, I want you to fast and pray. So I said, yes, Lord, I'll fast and pray. And I was much younger, so acidity was not at all an issue for me. I said, yes, Lord, how many meals? I can fast any number of meals. Tell me how many meals. And God had specific, in the church there, the last Friday was fasting prayer. The first Friday was a communion Friday. So God said, and somewhere in the middle of that week, the Onam Thethi will come. The first of the month will come. So God said, I want you to, just that week, I want you to really sit in my presence. So I said, yeah, no problem. I can fast any number of meals. Very clearly, I heard the voice of God. He said, every meal you skip, I want 3 hours of your time. I said, okay. Then God said, now you decide how many meals you're going to skip. I said, Lord, I'll settle for one. But the truth, that one meal skipping, I had 3 solid hours in the presence of God. I would just soak in. So much so, every month, He would tell me what's going to happen, especially on the first of the month. With clarity, I know the whole 30 days or 31 days, what it's going to be like, including shifting cities. We were in Dubai first. He was employed in Dubai. The head office was in Dubai. And I remember telling him one morning, on May 1st, I said, you know what? On May 28th, this month, we're shifting. So he said, where? I said, we're shifting to Abu Dhabi. So he said, listen, the head office is here, my position is here, there's no way I'm going to go sit in Abu Dhabi, my place is in Dubai. The reason was, I'd seen an angel carry a lamp, you know, and then I remember saying this before, oh, little town of Bethlehem, it was like village and, you know, huts and dark mud roads and stuff like that. So we're going and our children were tiny, so we're holding their hands and we're running, this angel speeding, okay? No speeding ticket. So we're just racing with this angel. We're just kind of running along with this angel. Suddenly the angel stops and takes a right turn. And then I see a calendar there and the date 28 jumps up at me. Somehow that morning I knew something was going to happen on 28th of that day, of that month. So my husband said, no, definitely no chance. This I told him on first. Exactly 28th, the office decided that they would shift him and, you know, make him handle the whole country from Abu Dhabi. What am I trying to say? You know, actually God wants to speak to us. God wants to. It's we who have very busy lives. We who are so caught up with civilian affairs. We who are so busy with everything else that we don't want to take that time. We know we need that time. Let me be honest. If I ask each one of us, including myself, I know I need the time with God. I know I need His presence. But somehow I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I don't know, this morning God really, I was up till about 2, got up again at 6, and God's been saying, hey, listen, do you realize, I want more of your time. I want you in my presence more. It's not about how good or how bad your day is going to be. You need me, I want you. As simple as that. Move on. So sometimes we, you know, tell God, we'll do this in our family, we'll do this in our career, this is what I want to do with my life. So you blend into it. I'll do this in my ministry. And over the years, God's been saying, you know, Dulce, it's not about what you want to do for me. It's about what I want to do through you. I've created you for a purpose. So I have a purpose to fulfill through you. So I need you to connect with me to hear what I want. You know? And so often we look at circumstances and we say, okay, 1 + 1 = 2. It's so obvious. I'll tell you why. I realized in my own life, the reason is I don't want to be called a procrastinator. waiting, you don't know how long you're going to wait, so you don't want to be a procrastinator. So you jump into things and say, no, I think God wants me to do this, I think. But you know what? God is saying, even that I think, can you just stop a little bit and find out? Can you just talk to me about it? Say, okay, God, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? And then sometimes like this, you know, we feel good prayer. I do my prayers because I want to feel good about it. We just move on to our Father who art in heaven right now, okay? We know this. We've done this over the years. I like it because we, you know, at one point I was telling my husband, I said, can we say our Father here every Sunday? Wow, that's the Lord's Prayer. It'd be great if as a church we could do it. He said, listen, I don't want to get into anything that's going to become mediocre. If we're doing something, let's do it with all our hearts. Even do it for a month, with all our hearts we pray and give it a break so that it doesn't become a monotony of what, oh, I'm saying this, yeah, I'm doing the Lord's Prayer. We just move on to this, okay? I remember what David said last week. It was, my home is God's plan in God's kingdom. I want that theme to keep on resonating, you know? And I was so happy when God said, harvest in homes. When David said, you know what? I feel this is what the Lord is telling us. This is how He wants us to go into the future. We've been really, really, really seeking God and asking Him at every turn possible. And like, you know, like my life in the Gulf, it's for Him here right now. You can actually grab that time and spend with God. And He likes to do it before the rest of the world wakes up. Because here, every now and then there's someone, if not anyone, it's the watchman just coming, you know, that door is open. You know, one pig came in. Help. Let's just pray, okay, and be done with it. So the point is, you know, there's constant, you know, interference. So he was really soaking with God. And then when he shared it, I said, yes, Lord, that's it. That's what you're trying to tell us in terms of harvesting homes. So my home is God's plan in God's kingdom. That's my theme. That's going to be, what is my home going to do in terms of prayer? We just look at the Lord's Prayer, okay? Our Father in heaven. Have you ever thought of this? It doesn't say my Father. It's collective. It's a whole family. It's a whole church. It's a whole community. It's a whole group. It's not about my Father in heaven. Jesus was very clear. Our Father. So when I have a quiet time or my life goes well, that's good. Praise God. But can we gather as families? Can we gather as, you know, a team of people and say, our Father, you're our Father. We're all together in this, okay? And then, of course, the second part says, Father. You can't call Him your Father if we are not His children. And we know again and again, you know, I focus a lot on this, the image of God. I believe Romans 8:29 with all my heart. It says, we are sanctified, justified. There's so many, you know, the usual doctrines of the church. Sanctification, justification, all that for to be conformed to the image of God. It just says one thing. It says you behave like His child, full stop. Full stop. Are we His children? Am I conformed to His image? Am I growing like Him? Can people just see Him in me? Can people see me and say, you know, that's a woman of God. You know, that's a child of God. Can people do that? Or am I so caught up with living life that people can't do that? I treat people shabbily. How are people in my neighborhood looking at me? I remember when we were in Dubai, Sam Kamalesan came. It was 3 years after my father had passed away. Sam Kamalesan was a good friend of my father. He loved my dad. So he came home with a team of people who had, you know, we were doing some meetings there for youth. So when he came with an Navodaya team, with Ashok and all of them. So we were having a meal and then we were talking. He said, Dulcie, tell me what happened to Jimmy. How did it happen? So I was giving him everything and I was telling him what's happening now and so on and so forth, and I was just talking to him, and it was a fellowshipping time. There were times there were tears in his eyes, there were times there were tears in my eyes talking about dad. And then we went on and I was talking, you know, when he left my house, I'll never forget his words at the door as he's leaving with his, you know, that his characteristic Bible in his hand like this. He holds it as he's going out. He said, Dulcie, I feel I visited with Jimmy today. If a human being can look at me and say, okay, I feel I've been with your dad, how much more as God's representative, people need to be with me and say, I feel I've been in the presence of God. Can my family say that? Can my husband say that? Can my wife say that? Can your wife say that? Can our children say that? I feel I've been in the presence of God. And we are talking about homes. We are not talking about a one-time visit to a church. We're talking about a home being a lighthouse. That's a lot more in that. There's a lot more in that. Hallowed be your name. When we say hallowed, it's honored, revered, respected. You know, and the Bible says the opposite of hallowed is profane. Have we profaned God's name? We think profaning God's name is using His name in vain. And we stop with it. Actually, profaning God's name in public or in private is when my life does not show God's power in me. It's as simple as that. And we think hallowed be your name is worship. Actually, it's not. It's not. If you look, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36. Oh, by the way, my Our Father is from, all of us know, Matthew chapter 6, okay? But right now, let's go to Ezekiel 36. It's from verse 16 to 23. The renewal of Israel, that's what the subtitle says here. And then it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. Mind you, own. The Lord of own comes. It's not necessarily wrong, but own. And then it moves on. You can just go on that whole passage. It talks about how we have profaned His name. Verse 20, when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my name. When they said, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of His land. Then He goes on, and then in verse 23, God says, how I'm going to bring you back. Verse 22 starts, I'm going to change you. I'm going to do this because I love you guys. And then verse 23, He says, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Instead of using the word nations, I want to bring the word neighborhood. It's in our neighborhood. Is God being hallowed in me before their eyes in terms of the neighborhood? And I want us to note, it's being hallowed in me. It's not just saying, hallowed be your name. Okay, good, I worship you. You're a good God, I worship you, I honor you. Definitely there's a place for worship as well. But hallowing is where my life, in my neighborhood, in my family, shows the power of God. And the first thing I want to say when I think of hallowing is my eyes. Somehow, our eyes are literally the window, the door to the soul. Our eyes are like scanners. You know, if you notice, we've got very photographic memory, especially for the dirty things that we even glance. I remember so many times when traveling by bus, I've seen people, I watch people's faces, because correctly when there are this whole load of posters, cinema posters, everyone will be looking like that, including Christians. Even when you're talking to a Christian, they will turn around and look there. And at that time, I remember my children were in their teens, and I kept telling them, watch out for what your eyes scan. You know, there's something called UC browser in my phone. I wish it was not there. I tried deleting it and someone told me your whole phone will crash. It will take out all your basic apps in it. I said, okay. I don't know what has happened to it, but every morning, every day, at the top of the phone, one small bit in Tamil comes with gruesome pictures. I'm unable to get that off my phone. So I've consciously, first few days, it's all about death, it's about molestation, it's about, you know, the nasty things that you don't want to see in the morning. But that only is, it'll come, but it'll sit right on top. So I said, Lord, so many days. Then one day, Sujay and Deepika were here. I said, Lord, I don't like this. I want to delete this. How do I do it? They said, please don't delete UC browser. You need it. I said, but I don't want it. It's showing dirty things. So then Sujay did something and it went to the back. It's not on the first screen that I see. But this particular thing keeps coming back up on the first screen. You know, when I take my mobile, even if you send me a text, I have to consciously, as I know something has come up there, I just swipe it off and consciously look at the rest of the mobile. I'll tell you, the world is so dirty. The guy who wants to be clean also, the world is ready to mess up. That's the enemy. So how much more we need to be careful? I need to be careful. I'm telling God, I don't want to see these, you know, nasty things in the morning. And I said, Lord, why is it happening? I don't know. I'm still struggling with trying to get rid of him. Though they pushed him to the third screen, to the third either. Coming back to the point, hallowed be your name. What are my eyes looking at? We think it's a brief thing, but let me tell you, our eyes are scanners. We think our eyes are okay, our eyes are scanners. Our mind is like a computer. Everything you see scans in there. And a man of God once said, it comes in, or even I've heard Benita Francis say this, it comes in when the enemy knows there's a chance of a foothold. That's when this comes back. Till that you're fine. Till that we think we're pure, we're holy. But suddenly it comes back. And it messes up. Coming back to the point, what is hallowing God? He says, it's not about hallowed through your mouth or hallowed in worship. He says in verse 23, I will be hallowed in you before their eyes, before the eyes of our neighbors, of our community. What does hallow mean for God? When God himself uses this word, 2-3 times he uses it, not just in the Lord's Prayer. We usually think only in the Lord's Prayer, but when he uses it even in the Old Testament, about him being hallowed in our lives, in our midst. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41, it talks about what hallowing is in God's eyes. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Hallowed be your name is in me. His name is revered inside me. It's not only in worship, inside me. Holiness. And again God says, before the nations, before the Gentiles, before my neighborhood, before the people in my neighborhood, he wants me to be a sweet aroma. Remember, my home is God's plan in God's kingdom. Is my home a sweet fragrance? Can the people in my neighborhood, you know, for us here it's very convenient because you don't have neighbors, you know, Gentile neighbors. But the truth, you have them all along the wall, and sometimes it can frustrate you. I remember a time correctly when we were going out for ministry, we were traveling the whole country at that time. There'll be one bus conductor there. Something they'll mess up, you know. Correctly when we're leaving, we'll be reversing the car, the servant will say something, we'll go there, it'll be a mess, and then hallowed be your name is gone. If you struggle, whole way to the city, we'll be talking in tongues, or to the airport, we'll be talking in tongues and, you know, wrestling in the spirit to get that peace back. Because you're going to go stand in front. You need to be all right here. Only then that will flow. So the enemy is waiting. That's all I'm trying to say. The enemy is waiting. You know, the enemy is like a roaring lion. But we think he's docile. We know, you know, so many people say, oh, he doesn't have teeth. Look. Sure, so be it. But are we being careful? That's all is my point. My question to myself, am I being a little cautious? Or am I just saying, it's okay, that's the world. Yeah, so what? That's not the world. We choose to let the name of God be hallowed in my life. I remember in the only time I ever took up an assignment outside my home or outside the tuitions that I did at home was once in Abu Dhabi. Someone asked, I still don't remember what it was. It was an assignment in a computer institute. And they said, ma'am, please come and help. You talk good English. I don't know what it was. Whether it was a, you know, relationship with the people, the customers or so on, something. So I said, okay, and my kids learned graphic designing there. So they said, okay. But they had offered to give me a salary. And the very first month, they gave me so little. I said, Lord, it's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my energy. I don't think I need to get out of the house and go there at all. As first thing I said was, I'm going to go ask them. This is what they spoke to me about. Okay, it's not that I wouldn't say that time I needed that money to live. No. Then I said, Lord, I'm going to go and ask them. That morning, I was reading of all the books, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, one fly in the ointment, in the perfume, can make it stink. So the Lord said, this 1 month you worked for them, they are respecting you. You don't realize it, but they're looking up at you and saying, wow, there's something different in this woman. And God said, for those, you know, for that money, is that money going to be a fly for you? I said, no, Lord. Then God said, forget it, Delcy. I've taken care of your needs in so many other ways. But do you want the perfume that you spread there, the aroma that was in that institute? And they said, till I left the Gulf, they would say, ma'am, would you ever come back? Would you ever come back? I said, no, no, no. Finally, they said, within 2 months, I left the place. But the point was, they said, your presence there did something for the people who even visited there. See, that's what we are called to be. That's what we are called to be. I'm an aroma in my sphere of influence. I'm the fragrance of God. Don't let a dead fly come and just mess us up. Or our testimony. What are we watching? What are we doing with ourselves? We really need to check that out, okay? If you move on to Philippians chapter 4 verse 18, it talks about Epaphroditus. Okay, and Paul is saying, he's saying the things you sent, he's saying the Philippian church, he's saying the things you sent, the people there rather, he says the things you sent is a sweet smelling aroma, it's an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And when I was talking about well pleasing to God, is my life an aroma? What is it that's well pleasing to God? What is it that God wants out of my life? If I turn now to Micah chapter 6 and verse 7. It talks about with the Lord. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, and so on and so forth? And then it says, in verse 8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. So I realize God's not very desperate for what I'm going to offer him in terms of what I'm going to do. But he's shown me, O man, verse 8, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And when I translate this word mercy, it means kindness. And sometimes faithfulness is the main idea. Is there faithfulness in my household? Am I people around me? Are my family seeing the presence of God in what I say I'll do? Am I doing it? When you talk about just, somehow this one thing God gripped me when I was, even when I was in college, you know. Make the right judgment. Make the right judgment. Matthew 7 verse 1 came across very strong to me at one point and said, judge not that you be judged. Because with what measure you judge, if I measure something with my hand like this, with that same hand, I'll be measured back. So what I look at other people and say, the same thing applies for me. What is my attitude within my house? Am I busy judging my spouse? Am I busy judging the children? Or are we busy judging our parents? What's our attitude? Okay. I always discovered it's easier. If you go on in chapter 7, it says, why are you looking at the speck in someone else's eye when there's a huge plank in yours? So for the first thing is, when you're trying to correct somebody, the first thing I check is, am I making that mistake? If I'm making it, I ask God forgiveness. And if I have to correct my children, I still correct my children. But I first check where I'm going wrong. That's in terms of justice. Walking in right judgment in the family. Are we walking in right judgment among my neighbors, among the people around me? I remember one thought that God gave me when we were doing the family ministry was just this. He said, if everyone respected the other person in the family as a person in the image of God, there would be a lot more harmony even within the home. So, you know, so some people would come to, you know, you don't know, he's such an angry person. He does this, he does that. And the husband comes and says, you don't know, she's so lazy. She doesn't do this, doesn't do that. So there's a constant battle in that. But then even if I look at that person and I say, you know what? He's in God's image. Let me respect him at least because he's made in the image of God. Okay? And then when you're looking at your family members like that, it's much easier because you're looking at the God factor in the whole situation. You're not looking at the person directly. The third point here is humility, justice, humility and mercy. Letting go within the family, you know. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 and 4, it says, esteem the other better than yourself. And then there's an interesting one. He said, are you doing things in the interest of the others? So often we want to do things in the interest of myself. In the interest of myself. So am I doing something for the other person's good, or am I thinking of what I want out of it? And when we talk about hallowed be thy name, it says I'm set apart. Hallowed is a manifestation of life produced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Hallowed is not just you worship God and, you know, honor him like that outside, but you honor him within you as well. Every part of your body, every part of your, you know, the three-part being that we are. Back to Ezekiel 36:23. God wants to be hallowed in me before the eyes of my neighbors. Before the eyes of my neighbors. And I discovered sometimes it's even the watchman at the gate. I need to let God see, let the watchman see God being honored in me. Because the one person you can very easily get put off with is the watchman. I'm looking at the people in my eyes whom I'm not respecting at my level and saying, Lord, can that person see? That is my neighborhood. That is my neighborhood. That's my neighborhood. So can they see Christ in me? And let me clarify something here. Sometimes we feel, oh, if they can, if I let go of everything, you know, so often in couples we've heard men say this, if I just let her have her way, she'll masala archify on my head. She'll sit on my head and, you know, I'll have to be obeying her. I'll be a hen-pecked husband. You know, there's a God above. It's not just husband and wife relationship. There's a master above who's watching your humility. And he will honor. I've seen that again and again. He honors humility. He says, you know, for me it matters. When he didn't think it great, when he didn't think it big, when he decided that he would humble, he was God. Jesus is God. But he came to this earth for you and me. That is humility. So when I don't want to humble myself because I'm thinking, oh, they'll all get the better of me. So what if they get? Imagine if Jesus said, you know, these human beings, they're 100% going to get the better of me. Why should I go to the earth? He could have done that. But he was willing. The Bible says he humbled himself and took up something that was not at all for him. In the sense, so degrading, if I may use that word. Sinful man. Sin is so degrading. Still he loved me. Still he humbled himself. If that mattered to God, I think it should matter in my life as well. Now we'll move on. Your kingdom come. I like the statements that Jesus made. Actually, he says, kingdom of God is coming. Then at one point he says, kingdom of God has come. Suddenly he says, kingdom of God is here. And then in Luke 17:21, he says, kingdom of God is within you. Whoa. I think of hallowed be your name outside me. I think of kingdom of God outside me. But everything is finally internalized and it flows. That's when the rivers of living water will flow from within me. I said, okay, God. So it's all about what you want to do through me. Okay? You want to be hallowed in me. The kingdom of God is within me. And my, you know, I have a nice Bible, which is a study Bible. It says, kingdom of God is also referred to as kingdom of heaven. It's basically a spiritual realm over which God rules as king. Okay? So, or the fulfillment of his will in that sphere. So, if the kingdom of God is within me, has he got absolute rulership in my life? This is the sphere of where he can be king. So when I say your kingdom come, it's not about all my neighborhood, it's about me. First, let it start with me. Let it come into me. Yes, we know, I know we are all saved here. I know we have salvation experience. I want to push further than that. Is the kingdom of God able to operate on a daily level in my life? Your kingdom come. Move on, it says, your will be done. We all know this. Not my will, but thine be done, sweet Jesus. Let the same prayer be mine every day. If I ask for things that I shouldn't ask for, Lord, guide my feet, hold my hand, lead the way. That's a song I used to sing so often in my youth. I said, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And here, last Wednesday, we saw this in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone saying, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only he who does the will of the Father. Again, going back to what we saw, it's not about my plans for God, but it's about what his will is, and I submit to that. I remember talking to Lynn. We're talking about the future. What is on God's mind for you? So, the point is, you keep asking him, what do you want? What is on your mind? And I've discovered that when we link up, I'll be honest with you, when we came to Padappai, started church, and we had stepped into the NGO, that the Alpha Ministries, we were working there. Just hardly 2 months after stepping in that, his boss from the UAE called, and he said, they call him Philip there. He said, Philip, we're expanding like never before. We started church in August. We had shifted into this house in August. September went, October went. In November, this man called. And he said, will you come? Come back here. We're expanding to all the Middle East nations. And money is not a limit. You know, my kids said, Mom, we finished all our money. Let's just tell Daddy to go. Kids were in college by then. They said, let Daddy go. It'll be fun coming there. I also, for a minute, I said, wow, is God going to really give us a second chance with a lot of money? And my husband was very clear. He said, I have stepped in. I will not turn back. And I went to God. And I still say this. Even last week, I was telling somebody this. I said, Lord, do you want us to go back? We are ready to go back. We can serve you in a Muslim country. There's so much we can do. You know, the whole thing, we start relaying our plans for God. I said, there's so much we can do, Lord. And then so much we can do with the money. And, you know, Lord, remember you said this to us some years ago. You said, whenever anyone prayed over us, they would say, Jacob came back. He went with nothing, but he comes back with two camps. In Tamil, they say, Rendu Parivarangal. So I said, Lord, first parivaram finished. We came, one camp we've come. Maybe you'll give us another chance. I really, really went to God with that. I said, but only one thing. I don't want to go where you're not there. If you're not in it, I don't want it. It's juicy to think of, a flamboyant lifestyle where you go to the shop and you pick anything you want, like Michael Jackson. It's easy. It's very attractive. So I went to God and I said, what's on your mind, I saw the hand of God, a finger, just till so much. And in Tamil, God said, Kalapaila kaya vachi thirumbunai. He said, I freeze still when I think of that voice. He said, you keep your hand on the plow and you turn. It was a threat. Honestly, I've seen God threatening. Because that was not his will. That was not his will. Are we pushing what we want? Thinking that's his will, that's my will, it better be God's will. That's all I'm asking. Are we trying to do what we think we should do because we think God is in it? And God is going on saying, hey, listen, talk to me, no, sit with me, no, I'll tell you what's in my heart. I want it that way. I want it that way. Moving on, not my will. And then, of course, we know Jesus says, I like the way Jesus says, not my will but yours. He came from the Father. But there is something called the will of the Father. And we need to check with him on things like that. That doesn't mean whole day I waste and say, oh, I'm trying to know what the will of the Father. That is procrastination. We have the Holy Spirit within us who will tell us what to do. If there's no clarity, a man of God told us this years ago. He said, when you don't have clarity, when he has not spoken specifically, sit and wait. It's okay to wait, but don't sit and kill time. Sit in his presence and wait. We kill time. We do everything and then think, anyway he'll lead me. No, I'm telling him his will. No, anyway he'll take. No. He's saying you wait, but wait in accordance with me. Sit with me. Don't just kill time. Killing time is procrastination. Sitting with him is knowing the will of the Father. And God is really speaking to us this morning. He's saying, do you want to do my will? Can we constantly, every day say, Lord, what's on your mind? I remember one man of God prophesied over me. He's dead and gone. But he said, Dulcie, you're such an inquisitive woman. I started laughing. He was prophesying over me. I was laughing. And this man said, anyone is talking to you, anything is happening, your mind is saying, Holy Spirit, what's behind the scene? What are they trying to tell me? What's in their heart? What's their attitude? Lord, what about the situation? What's on your mind? He said, you're so inquisitive. You know, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I wish I was still like that. There are seasons I'm like that. There are times in the day I'm like that. But there are times I look at everything with my carnal eyes and slash it off. God saying, listen, if you sit with me, if you take that time with me, I will show you what my will is and I will do it. There is so much more. I've got 10 minutes to finish. I'm just going to go as fast as possible. Your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God takes care of our provision. He has never let us go. I was telling someone yesterday, my cousin had called from the US, and I was telling her, I said, Akka, God has been so good, so good. I remember my friend from the Middle East, she came and said, if at any time you need personal money, tell me, don't struggle. That's the one thing, you both are too precious to us, don't struggle. So I told her, you know, every step of the way, God has been taking care of us. Every step. We think we need this, God will give that money. Somehow it will come. Somehow it will come. So I said, every step, I'm seeing God take care. And she said, but will you tell me if at any time you need? I said, sure, sure. And saw them off at the airport and I came back. As we were driving back, I can hear the Spirit of God inside me. He's saying, oh, oh. So I will let you down and you'll go to your friend, is it? You get the point? Till that I'm telling her, God didn't let me down. So she says, if you need anything, anytime, don't hesitate to ask me. I'll do anything for you. We both love you both. And then I say, yeah. I'll definitely tell you. And then God tells me, so I will let my child down and she will go to her friend, right? I said, I'm sorry, Lord. See, there are times we think we can work out with our mind. Actually, it's not like that. Honestly, I'll tell you, a Christian walk is so different. It's where you let Him work out through your mind. Not we work out with our mind and then ask Him to bless. It's Him working out. He takes care of everything. He takes care of our provision. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's reconciliation. That's the core of the Bible. You know, I've discovered that when I am bitter, even about something that maybe surfaces once in 10 days, there is still bitterness that mars my Christian walk. I'm discovering that. So I say, okay, God, you know, something somewhere way in the distance, someone said this to you that will suddenly come up. And yes, Lord, yeah, the feelings rise up. Then I say, okay, God, I'm sorry. I bring this feeling to you. I don't want to be bitter. I don't like bitterness. Forgiveness is very key. I've done a session on that last time, I think. Two or three times ago, I spoke on that. As we forgive our debtors. And if you look at that little link, that lady is saying, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. And then God asked that lady, what about so-and-so? That lady said, I cannot forgive. So God says, but who's the one who helps you forgive? And then this dialogue goes on, and then God says, the lady submits and says, okay, God. God says, bless her, pray for her, pray for that person. So this lady comes back and says, Lord, I submit to you. I forgive her. And then she says, I'm actually feeling lighter now. Some months ago, one person was brought to us who had walked through a horrible divorce, who had walked through a lot of cheating in the marriage. And the person said, my life is miserable. I'm just not happy. So we were, one evening, we were just sitting with that person and we were talking. And out of the blue, David just said, you know what? I feel God telling you, take 2 hours, sit down in the presence of God and let God minister to you. And they were wondering whether it was witchcraft or whatever. And then this, you know, all that happened was, he gave her a verse from Numbers 23:23, which says, no witchcraft can come against Jacob, nothing can stand against him, that kind of a verse, because God will not lie. You know what ministered to the lady? Not about the witchcraft. What ministered to her was, God cannot lie. The human being lied to me, cheated me, but God cannot lie. She said, for 2 hours, I cried, I went back home, cried. And everything that came out, I kept talking about it. I kept writing it. And then she brought it back the next day. We just took it from her and tore it up. We said, we are not
interested in seeing what your life is. This is for you to get free. Till today, that lady is much older than me. She says, I said, just call me Dulcie, it's okay. She said, no, I'll call you Pastor Amma. I respect the two of you. And she just said this one thing. She said, I'm so free. All that I carried for over 25 years, she said, I'm free. Bitterness cripples. Bitterness cripples. Bitterness cripples. You know, this morning the Lord is saying, just get rid of it. You want to run the race? Well, get rid of bitterness. It doesn't help to hold it. Yes, the thought comes. Yes, the emotion rises up. Immediately what I do, I say, God, I release those people. For me, everything is around ministry only. So I say, Lord, I release those people. I release them. With freedom I walk. I walk with the freedom that Christ has set me free. Forgive us. It's a core of our Christian life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Meaning to say, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Unless I listen to God, I won't know where He is leading me. Unless I listen to God, and He doesn't lead me into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. It's not that He's going to throw you into a lion's den and then watch you, you know, how you're handling it, how well you're handling it. God knew He was going to protect Daniel. Only then He permitted that thing to happen in his life. God doesn't just throw us into situations and say, oh good, are you doing well on that? Are you able to handle it? And then it goes on. Listening to His voice. Somehow that's very key coming back this morning to me on listening to His voice, taking time in His presence. And then it moves to the final bit, which says, "There's for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever." If I look at our Father, it's sonship. When I look at hallowed be your name, it's an absolute, a holiness issue. When I look at your kingdom come, it's citizenship. I belong to a different kingdom, so I belong, behave differently. When I look at your will be done, it's submission to His Lordship. When I look at, you know, provision, He takes care. When I look at forgiveness and reconciliation, it's relationship, it's kinship. When I look at lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, I want us to just check ourselves. Are we going to those places of temptation and then saying, guard me, guard me? Or when you know there's a temptation coming, move. That's all God taught me. When you know there's something coming up, move away from it. So that is discipleship. That is listening to His voice. For thine is the kingdom. He's our king. Kingship. The power and the glory. Is He being glorified? Is He being honored in my words? Even in my neighborhood, not just in my family, even in my neighborhood. Remember, Harvest in Homes, my home in God's plan for God's kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. He rules where He is given permission to rule absolutely. He's not an invader. He's the owner. He's the author. He's the king. So are we letting Him have His way? And thine is the glory. Is my life giving glory to Him? Let me just close our eyes and pray. Lord, You've placed us in different homes. Intentionally, You have placed us. I pray, O God, our homes would rise up to what You want out of us in the places where You have kept us. Lord, even on this campsite, even with the servants, Lord, or the people around the walls, I pray that there'll be the fragrance of Christ. Hallowed be Your name in me before their eyes. Father, I pray that You would help us, Lord. I pray that You would help us. I pray You would help us to walk faithful to You, in relation to You, understanding Your ways. Father, I pray that waiting would never be procrastination, but it would actually be waiting in Your presence. Waiting outside Your presence is procrastination, Lord. But waiting in You, with You, we will hear Your voice, and Your will cannot be challenged. Your will cannot bend or break halfway. Your will is absolute in our lives, O God. We want to be the people who would say, Lord, Lord, but who also do the will of the Father in heaven. Whether it's our marriage, whether it's our personal lives, whether it's the children's studies, career, whatever, Lord, I pray that Your will be done. Lord, our ministry, our business, everything, Lord, we would see you come forth as God in absolute authority. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives, Lord, as it is in heaven. Lord, your kingdom of God is only where we permit you to have absolute influence. I pray, Lord, that that kingdom of God would rise within me today, would rise within us today, would rise in our homes today. You be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we close, we have oil that's been prayed over. I want you to take this with you, pray, apply it, and before you go.